As I look back on all of my days, so many times and so many ways, I have been blessed, and all I can say is God is still good. Sometimes the night brings sorrow and pain, sometimes the tears fall like the rain, but through it all, He's never changed. God is still good. Amen. He's good. Amen, church. Now there have been times that I've let Him down, made my mistakes, but still I have found, though I stumble and fall, but through it all, God is still good. Mercy still flows from the palm of His hand, and He will give grace and help me to stand. And although He knows how unworthy I am, God is still good. Amen. We serve not only a good God, but we serve a great God. Amen. And what a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's go to Him in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service. CJ, would you pray for us this morning? Amen. Church, would you stand this morning and join the choir? Turn over to page number 393, and let's sing When We All Get to Heaven. All right, everyone sing now.
Sing the wondrous love. When we all see Jesus.
soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day! Thank you, church. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Again, it's great to see you in the house of the Lord today. If you're visiting with us here at Calvary, we want to thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship this morning. And if you're visiting with us for the very first time, you're a special guest, and we truly do appreciate you being here today. And I'm sure that one of our ushers have already gotten to you. If not, we'll make sure that we get you a little slip to fill out so we'll have a record of your attendance. But thank you for being here this morning. It's great to see Brother Snyder and Miss Marcia here with us today. And again, many are visiting. We thank you for being here and pray the Lord just would bless you today. Please remember a couple of announcements. The Ladies' Prayer Brunch is on Thursday. That's this coming Thursday, March the 12th, in the Fellowship Hall at 11 o'clock. Please see Miss Mary Ann if you have any questions concerning that. And then also, next Sunday morning, our service will start at 10:30. There'll be no Sunday school next Sunday morning, and we have Ivan Parker with us next Sunday morning, 10:30. So please make that a matter of prayer. There's some flyers down front. Please make sure that you get those, pass them out to your friends, family. Invite folks to come into the house of the Lord. That'd be a great day here next Sunday. Again, we start at 10:30, and there's no Sunday school. On March the 22nd, we have Dr. John Harris, John Gerald Harris. He's going to be with us for the morning service, and we look forward to hearing from him. And he's a great speaker. I've heard some things about him. I know you're going to enjoy him. He'll be here with us again. That's March 22nd, not next Sunday, but the following Sunday here at Calvary in the morning service. Also on the 22nd is Chrissy and Eli Shower will be held here in the Fellowship Hall at 2:30. So please be here for that, ladies. If you have any questions, please see Amanda and Miss Lee Ellen. And again, that it will be on the 22nd as well. Service this evening downstairs in the Fellowship Hall at 5 o'clock. Please be here for that if you can. It's great to have Brother Don with us this morning, Miss Carla. And what a blessing it is to have them. We look forward to what the Lord has that he wants to speak through Brother Don this morning. And he's going to share his work with us as well as the word with us. So you be much in prayer for Brother Don this morning. Again, it's great to see you here. Let's go to the Lord again in a word of prayer. Anything I'm missing? Any other announcements? Ladies, gentlemen. All right. Well, let's ask the Lord to be with us. Lord, we love you. And Lord, how we praise you and how we thank you for the opportunity that we do have. Lord, we don't take that for granted. Lord, there are many people that would love to be able to come to the house of God today. Lord, some due to sickness are unable to be here. We have shut-ins that are unable to be here. And Lord, we thank you for the avenue of Facebook that they can at least be a part of the service. And Lord, I pray that you would visit with them, touch them as well. But Lord, we stand in need of your touch here today. Lord, I pray that you would fill this place with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, this morning I pray that you would touch the choir and Lord, accept our worship and our praise as we sing unto you today. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity. And Lord, I thank you for Brother Don. I know that you've given him a message for today. Lord, I pray that you'd speak through him that we need to hear. May our hearts, our minds be open to receive your word today. Lord, I pray especially if there's someone here today that's never accepted you as their Savior. May this be the day that they'd realize that and come to know you as the Lord of their life. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, just be with all the prayer requests that have been mentioned. Many, many have been mentioned this morning. Pray that you'd be with each one of those. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Lord, I pray that you'd just be in this place today. We'll praise you and thank you, Lord, for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
understand why he wouldn't come as they made their way toward the other side. As they left the shore, they faced the storm, and suddenly they feared for their lives. But upon the sea there, someone walked on the water as they listened for his cry. That's when they heard him call out their name, and tenderly he said, "It is I." He's the eye of the storm, center of my calm, the place where I find shelter, the place where I find home, the center of my day, the keeper of my days. When I can't feel the sunshine and my ship is tossed and torn, he's the eye of the... They didn't understand how the Prince of Peace could find them in the middle of their sea. But with a little faith and God's good grace, joy would overcome their disbelief. Now there are times in life when I face the storm and I wonder if I ever will survive. That's when I hear him call out my name, and tenderly he says, "It is I." He's the eye of the storm, the center of my calm, the place where I find shelter, the place where I find home, the center of my days. When I can't feel the sunshine and my ship is tossed and torn, he's the eye of the Lord. Do not fear when he is near. Take hold of his strong hands. Listen closely to his word. He is.
Sing with me, church. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim, kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's some that name. Can we sing it again? Jesus. 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 There's just something about that name. He's my Master, He's Savior, oh Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, sweet Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim, kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that. Yes, there's something about that name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. Brother Don.
We are Don and Carla Rich, missionaries serving in Peru, South America. As of July 5th of this year, we have been on the field for 23 years. We are sent out of Calvary Baptist Church in Powder Springs, Georgia. We have two children and three grandchildren who all live here in the United States. In 2003, we left our home in Georgia and moved to Lima, Peru, where we enrolled in language classes. In 2005, we felt the Lord leading us to move to the Northern Andes Mountains to a small town called Baños del Inca, located in the department of Cajamarca. In August of that same year, we began a church in a small rented building and named it Iglesia Bautista Calvario after our home church. Then God blessed us with a piece of property where we could build a church. Less than a year later, we completed the first building on the property. It was a blessing to be able to move the church services to its own location. In 2012, we finished construction on the main building and moved our church into this larger facility. It has a sanctuary that seats around 300 and has been used for church services, weddings, and conferences. It also has a baptistry where many new Christians have been baptized. God allowed us to do all of this with no debt. As of August 14th, our first church, Iglesia Bautista Calvario, will be celebrating its 21st anniversary. Over the years, God has blessed us with several ministries. We've planted three churches and helped other missionaries start churches also. In 2023, we began our latest church plant in an area called Moyapampa. National Pastor Juan Carlos and his family have been serving at this work since we opened the doors. In September of this year, that church will celebrate its 3-year anniversary. Carla stays very busy with the women's and children's ministries, leading meetings, setting up conferences, and teaching and coordinating Sunday school classes and VBS. Through the years, we've been able to have Bible Institute classes out of our church in Cajamarca with good attendance. Ministry opportunities can appear in many forms. When the COVID pandemic hit, our ministry had to adjust. We had online services while churches were closed for over 8 months and many stores were closed. Because most people couldn't work, we started a food distribution ministry. We provided the essentials for many families in our area and took gifts to the kids. A few years ago, we started a Christmas Kids program. Each year, we go into different areas to deliver the gospel, some snacks, and a gift for each child. We've done this in schools and on small town squares and even included short Christmas dramas. It is always a blessing to see the children's faces when we arrive and start sharing with them. Several have told us that they probably would not have received a gift otherwise. This ministry allows us the opportunity to present the gospel to many parents and give them tracts and other materials. This past Christmas, we had a multi-church kids' Christmas program in our church in Banos del Inca. We had a great time with around 250 kids and adults in attendance. Being a blue-eyed, gray-bearded man in a brown society gets me a lot of attention around the holidays, with kids asking to take pictures with me. I took advantage of this, grew my beard longer, and created a tract that says, "I'm not Santa Claus." On the inside, it states, "But I know someone who gave the best gift." In 2010, we were chosen by Victory Baptist Press to be the distributors of the Spanish Bible for South America. Because of our relationship with Victory Baptist Press, we have been blessed by other printing ministries. They've heard of how God has blessed our distribution ministry and want to be a part of getting God's word out. Since March of 2012, we received and distributed a total of 11 shipments containing over 225,000 whole Bibles, thousands of New Testaments, millions of gospel tracts, and just under 700,000 Romans booklets. To unload them into our Bible storage building, we form a human chain made up of many of our church members. It's a blessing to see them all come to help. We deliver the Bibles and materials using several different methods, including shipping through bus stations, trucking companies. We've sent thousands in Jungle River barges. The first time I sent them by river, I had the opportunity to speak to the barge captain and his first mate. Both prayed to receive Christ that day. Kiko, the first mate, now helps me schedule shipments to that area so I don't have to drive the 6-day round trip each time. We've also driven thousands of miles in our pickup truck. Carla and I have personally delivered God's word to churches whose congregations have never had a Bible. We've driven to deliver them to other countries, including several locations in Ecuador, Bolivia, Chile, and as far as Argentina. We have been able to help provide Bibles to all 9 Spanish-speaking countries in South America. Through this ministry, a former president of Peru and his cabinet received Bibles, and some of the poorest people in South America have received God's word. God's word continues to go out to whosoever will. In 2024, we hosted an international Bible conference with missionaries and pastors attending from several countries. Through the years, the Bible ministry has opened other doors for us. Several years ago, I was invited to help train pastors from the Aguaruna tribe. They speak Spanish, but their native dialect is Awahun, and we found that they had no training material in that dialect. So I worked with one of the local national pastors to provide materials for them. Through that collaboration, we were able to translate 10 pastoral training books into the Awahun dialect. Here is the first training session of many pastors using that material. I've had several opportunities to teach the importance of Bible doctrine and the purity of God's Word to many pastors and churches, including this pastor's conference in the capital city of Peru, a pastor's meeting on the northern coast of Peru, another on the southern coast, a large group of pastors on the border with Bolivia, a couple of churches in Ecuador, a pastor's meeting in the jungle capital, Peru, and even in our home in Cajamarca. As you can see, we have been very busy, but there is always more to do. For many years, Carla and I prayed for God to call a like-minded couple or family to come work with us in Peru. On the last day of 2024, Darren and Rachel Townsend arrived in Peru to serve as full-time missionaries. They have been working alongside of us and are watching over the ministry while we are on furlough. But the need for missionaries is still great. Maybe God is calling you to the mission field. If you'd like to discuss the possibility, please let us know and we'll be glad to answer any questions you might have. If you'd like to see or know more about our ministry, our website is rich2peru.com. Carla and I would like to thank you and ask that God bless you for your faithful prayers and support of our ministry.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is great to be back in the house of the Lord with y'all after a good long while of being out of the country once again. Can we get the lights back up, or is it just me? I'm hardly seeing anybody out there. There you are. All right. Good morning, everybody. All right. Praise the Lord. Good to see you out there. We've got some special guests this morning that I want to recognize. Brent Green, if you'll raise your hand right there. I'm not going to ask you to stand, and his wife with him also. We're talking about someone that I've known since I was a little child, and he's younger than I am, which you can probably tell by looking at him, comparing him to me. But Brent and his family were dear friends of ours, have been dear friends of ours for many, many years, and I'm so glad to see him this morning. We were talking this morning, it's probably been over 40 years since I've seen him. So it's a blessing to have him with us. And then, of course, to have Pastor Snyder and Ms. Marcia with us this morning, that is a blessing. And glad to have y'all here with us. And I had to bribe him. I told him I was going to be preaching this morning, asked him if he would come. He said, well, is there going to be popcorn for the movie? And I told him, yeah, but I fibbed, I guess, because I forgot to bring it. I'm sorry. But listen, we're going to go ahead and get into the Word here. Before I do, let me just say, right out here, we've got a simple display. We've got our prayer cards out here. If you go by there and pick up a prayer card, we know that you pray for us. We've got our new prayer cards, so it looks more like us than the other ones did that were several years old. People say, I don't change, I just get uglier, but my wife definitely doesn't change. She's just always beautiful. Amen? All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into the Word of God this morning. Now, I am not one that usually will speak on the topic of the day. And most of you that's been around me much would know that. If it's going to be Easter, I'm probably preaching on something completely different. I just preach on what the Lord gives me. But today's a little different because the Lord really gave me a message on missions this morning that I'd like to share with you. And as always, in Sunday school, I thought Brother Celine was going to start preaching my message, so I had to be real careful. Seemed like every time I come to preach, he ends up touching on some of the things I'm going to be speaking about. But let's go ahead. I'd just like to say, to begin with, when we became missionaries back in 2001, when we became missionaries, I remember a statement that was repeated by many pastors that I would meet. And that statement was this: there are more missionaries coming off the mission field than there are going on the mission field. And it was so sad for us as missionaries going over there, getting excited to go over there, but to hear that many were giving up after just a short time when they faced hardships or adjustments they weren't really expecting or conflicts with other missionaries. And yet it continues today, and I would say probably more than ever. Then there are those who, of course, get sick and can't stay on the mission field, others that spend many years over there and then retire from the missions. But for whatever reason, the attrition is real. It's really happening. After arriving in Peru, we saw one missionary after another that left the field. We really didn't believe it or didn't want to believe it when we got over there. But after a little while, we started noticing that. If you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews 10, 23. While you're turning that, I also got an aunt. I believe she's watching this morning, Winona. If you're out there watching, thank you for watching this morning. She wanted to be here but couldn't, but I know her heart was here with us this morning. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And look at what it says. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We are living in a time when we can clearly see that day approaching when Christ will return for his church. Can everybody say amen to that? Amen. If you see what's going on in our world today, there's no doubt he's got to be coming soon. Now, many years ago, one of my seminary professors asked all the students, he said, do you truly believe that Christ could come back at any moment, even today? And of course, all of us, you know, as seminary students, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he said something that kind of took us off guard. He said, then why are you here today instead of out there doing something else? Now, of course, we were there to prepare ourselves for the calling that God had placed on each of our lives. And we understood he wasn't telling us that we shouldn't be preparing, but he was opening our eyes just a little wider to the fact that time is short and there is a real need and there is an urgency to reach lost souls for Christ before it's eternally too late. Luke 10:2 says, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are what? They're few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now I'd like to add to this that not only do we need to pray, but we also need to be ready and we need to be willing to be that one that God sent. There are questions that need to be asked, and you've probably heard these. If not you, then who? If not now, then when? We have a tendency to put things off, the things that are needed in this life. Now, in this message, we're going to look at a well-known portion of Scripture, and I believe we need to reflect on it as we consider what it says to us this morning. Consider the urgency to reach this world for Christ in these last days. And I believe as we look closely at what it's saying, each one of us will be encouraged and want to get involved and do our part to make ourselves available to God's will in missions. Now, as all of us know, missions is a vital part of God's plan for the redemption of souls, a part of how we reach others beyond our everyday lives. And it's a ministry that involves not only those who go, but also those who send and those who support through prayer and through finances. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. It's a well-known verse here, but not even our central verse for today, but it's going to take us there. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a marvelous promise that starts in here. Amen. Look at it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now we just saw verse 13 starts with that great promise to a lost and dying world. The next two verses contain some challenging questions, and each one of those beginning with the word how. So let me ask again, how can we expect lost souls to put their faith into somebody they don't know anything about? How can they know about him if no one tells him? And that brings us around to the who. If no one is willing to step up to do it, then who is going to tell this next generation about Christ? You see, God calls men and women to share the gospel. He sends them out as his messengers to proclaim the good news. And that's the news that they can know Christ. There's so many people that think, oh, he's so far out there, there's no way I could reach him. Folks, he'll reach down to you. Amen? We can know Christ, the one that died for our sins. And he's the only one who can give us the opportunity to be saved from our sin and from God's wrath. Now in verse 15, God in his word and in his wisdom quotes an Old Testament verse that strangely, at least to me, includes a part of the human anatomy. That quote in verse 15 comes from our central verse for today, Isaiah 52:7. Isaiah 52:7. We're going to be going back and forth to this verse, so you might want to mark it. Isaiah 52:7. Everybody there? All right. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, and that bringeth good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Now, I'd like to ask you all a question this morning. How many of you have beautiful feet? Don't start taking your shoes off, please. How many of you have beautiful feet? I'm not asking you if you're a foot model, you know, and you get pictures taken of your feet for sandals or toenail polish. I don't know. But I'm referring to something biblically important this morning, something different. And as we break down this verse, I want us to seriously consider if we have beautiful feet. Now, when I read this verse several times preparing for this message, the first question that came to my mind was, why feet? Why did he say feet? You know, I mean, why did God use that word in this verse? It seemed kind of an odd choice of words to me. Why didn't he say, how beautiful are the hearts of those that share the gospel? Why didn't he say, how beautiful are their lips or their faces? You know, it would have seemed to make more sense if he'd used something other than feet. But as we study, I believe that we're going to see that God, as always, had a specific purpose for the words he chose here. So let's begin our study with the first two words in this verse. How beautiful. How beautiful. That very first word is a powerful clue if we listen to it. It's a powerful clue as to God's true feeling about soul winning and about missions. The word how is not used here to begin a question. It's used in an exclamation to emphasize the significance of those he calls and his heart's desire to have his word preached and to have his word shared. The word beautiful, that's a strong adjective. I think about this now. He could have said pleasant or nice or useful, but he chose to use the word beautiful. Guys, think about describing your wife, you know. She comes in and you're getting ready for church on Sunday morning and she's all decked out and she's ready to go and she walks in. You say, well, you look pleasant. I don't think many of you would end up in church that day. But anyway, but think about it if she come in and said, you look beautiful today. The difference that that one little word makes, and that's the word that God chose to put here. Placed together, these two words begin to paint a powerful picture. You see, God is unveiling a truth like it's a work of art that he did with his own hands. And if we can grasp the importance of just these two first words that God personally chose to begin this statement, we're going to better understand the rest of what he reveals to us in this verse. So I want you to say these two words with me. How beautiful. Come on now. How beautiful. Now say it with passion because that's what he's meaning here. He says, how beautiful. Think about that and then let's go into the rest of it. You see, this passage in Isaiah spoke of the announcement of the liberation of the Jews from Babylonian captivity. Imagine that. The watchmen could see the messengers as they came across the hills from a distance. It was a long anticipated, a long desired proclamation that they were wanting to hear, that they were wanting to receive. So can you imagine the joy that was in their hearts, the hearts of those who would receive that proclamation? I mean, there would be freedom from oppression. There would be liberation from their captors, and there would be deliverance from their bondage of so many years. So it was a glorious sight, and it was a glorious message that would change the history of not only the Jews, but all of mankind after that. So using that word beautiful, it was just a poetic thought that expressed the jubilation that they were having of receiving such a wonderful message. But you know what? God calls it beautiful when we, as his messengers, carry the news of salvation, that freedom from bondage of sin that still holds so many people captive, that freedom from the oppressive influences of Satan in our world. God calls it beautiful when we share his gospel. Now let me just say, if God calls something beautiful, we need to pay attention, amen? If it's important in God's eyes, then it should be and must be a priority in our lives. Verse 7 continues. Not only how beautiful upon the mountains. Have you ever really stopped for a moment and thought about what is a mountain? I mean, other than just a big pile of dirt. A mountain is a place that rises up out of the valleys. A place that rises up out of the valleys that's surrounded. A place that's not concealed. Notice that this message was not hidden. It was brought by messengers who were not ashamed of the message that they were bringing. They had a message that was worth carrying. A message that was worth the effort of traversing those high mountains. A message that would be unveiled, not an obscure message that they were just going to pass around. Luke 11:33, you don't have to turn there. Let me read this for you. It says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in might see the light." Now, as Christians, we have a message that should be shouted from the mountaintops. Amen? We have a message that should bring joy to anybody that hears it. And we're not to be ashamed, we're not to be embarrassed, we're not to even to be shy about sharing the message that our God and our King has entrusted to us. Now, I had a thought the other day, don't get excited, but I had a thought on this the other day that kind of got me a little excited. And that is that the sun cannot shine down in a valley until it has first risen over the mountaintop. Think about that for just a moment. Until we bring that message to the mountaintop and shout it, there's not going to be light down in those valleys where the people are living and wishing that they had light. Matthew 5:16 tells us to let our light so shine before men. God wants men and women who are unashamed to carry His Word. Turn with me to Romans 1:16 if you would. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. I was about to get excited. I looked up and there was no clock back there. Then I realized it was on the screen. I thought, I don't even have to worry about time. It's not even. But anyway, Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." That includes every one of us here. 2 Corinthians 4 is a powerful reminder of the work that missions and us as Christians are commanded to complete. If you would, turn with me there. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You see, Paul, with Timothy by his side here, was writing to the church in Corinth to encourage them and remind them of the importance of reaching lost souls. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." My brothers and sisters in Christ here this morning, let me tell you, we have a ministry to fulfill. We have received mercy. And we must not stop in our efforts to complete the task that God has given us. A lot of times we just kind of, we get going with fire and with zeal, and then after a while we kind of back off. We need to fire it back up. Amen. Verse 3 and 4 tells us just how important this task is that we have. Look at verse 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Let that sink in for just a moment. If our gospel be hid, if we're not sharing that gospel, who is it hid from? Those that are lost. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Souls are lost and on their way to hell. Many of those are our family. Many of those are our friends. We can't let Satan, the God of this world, win even one battle in this fight to take souls with him to his eternal destiny. Why are you saying it that way? You see, hell was created for Satan. No one else needs to go there. No one. And if we truly believe that, then we need to do something about it. Amen? You see, if you believe that, if you truly believe that, you need to do something about it. Each one of us have a calling to do something for Christ. Look at verse 5. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." We're not on this earth to fulfill all our own desires.
We've been purposely placed where we are to complete God's will. And His will was given to us in a commandment. You remember? You see, His will is for the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son to be proclaimed to lost souls so that they may have the opportunity to be saved. Look at verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That light shined brightly for each of us who are saved. And now it's our turn to take that same light into a dark world. Now let's turn back to our central passage for today, Isaiah 52:7. Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. I want you to notice again that strange mention of the word feet here. And as I said, the first question that came to my mind when I was reading over this and studying is why feet? What is the significance of the use of this word? But as I looked up other instances of the word feet in the scriptures, I saw something very interesting, sometimes even wonderful. You see, number one, it's our feet that gives mobility to our service. It's our feet that gives mobility to our testimony. It's our feet that gives mobility to the light that we carry. In Luke 7, Jesus told two of his disciples, go, tell John what things you have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor, to them the gospel is preached. Think about that. Mark 16. We're commanded to go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28:19 tells us to go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. You see, we're not commanded to just sit idly in pews. We are commanded to go. To go. You see, if we want to see lost souls saved, if we want to see Calvary Baptist Church grow, we can't just sit here. We have to go. We have to invite. We have to do something to reach lost souls for Christ. We can't expect the masses of lost souls to come and find us. We aren't all called to be foreign missionaries, but we are all called to do something. Acts 1:8 tells us to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And this means that some are going to go next door and they're going to invite their neighbors, maybe their friends and their family. Others are going to venture out. They're going to go beyond their social circle, while still others are going to boldly step out and they're going to evangelize in other areas, even to a foreign field. Some are going to go physically. Others are going to send their prayers and their finances to help someone else go for them. But we've got to understand something this morning. We are all commanded to do something. Something for God and for His glory. Now I'd like for us to look at a few more verses that's going to bring out the importance of feet in our Christian walk. I do find it interesting that we do have a Christian walk, and maybe that's another reason that he talks about our feet. Psalm chapter 40, verse 2. Psalm chapter 40 and verse 2. Psalm chapter 40 and verse 2. I have to say, we don't have a screen that shows things like that in Peru. People look in their Bibles, and I would encourage you to do that this morning. Psalm 40, verse 2. Says, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. You see, this verse reminds us that Christ has pulled us out of our sinful past. But notice that with our salvation, we are given purpose and we're given direction. It shows that we have been given personal placement. God placed us somewhere. Notice it says, set my feet on a rock. And a personal calling when He said, He established my goings. He has a place that He wants us to be. He has things he wants us to do. Folks, we are saved not to sit and wait on heaven, but to discover our spiritual gifts and to serve him. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, 105. Psalm 119, 105. I love hearing page turn. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Our feet are to be guided by the word of God. This means that our daily walk is directed by what we find in scriptures. It's a path that our feet should not stray from. Once we learn something in God's Word, we never should go away from it. Now let's look at one more in the New Testament. Ephesians 6, verse 15. Ephesians 6, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. And it says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." An important part of the armor of God is to be placed on our feet. The word shod means something that's bound under the feet, like a horse that is shod with a horseshoe to help protect its feet. So what we are shod with is what's carrying us. And notice that the preparation of the gospel is what should carry us as Christians. It's the foundation that we depend on. It's the message that we're carrying. Preparation meaning being ready to march like a soldier going to battle. It means being prepared to serve without hesitation. Being prepared. Now let's return to our central verse to pull out some more truths this morning. Isaiah 52:7 again. Isaiah 52:7. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him. Him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." I want you to notice here whose feet are considered beautiful. It says, "Him that bringeth good tidings." This speaks of a messenger announcing news that brings joy to the one that's hearing it. Skip forward just a few words where it says, "good tidings of good." That may sound a little redundant or a little confusing, but this is a comparative statement that he's making here. It means that the news that he is sharing has a higher, a greater value than just whatever news that can be shared. And as Christians, we have the best good news to share, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Wow. We have the good news to share, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? I thought some of you were sleeping there for a moment. This verse continues saying, "Him that publishes peace." The word "publish" means to cause to hear. Cause to hear or to proclaim. It's an active word. It's not a passive word. To cause someone to hear the message means it is a purposeful act. I mean, you think about this. I could have prepared this message, printed it out, and laid it up here on the pulpit. But no. I physically came to cause you to hear what God's message is. And that is what we are to do. This tells us once again that to have beautiful feet involves doing something. It involves taking action. Then the verse says that publishes salvation. Salvation meaning deliverance. Salvation meaning victory. And this all ties into the end of that verse, which is very powerful. I want you to see this. It says, "How beautiful of the feet of him that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." I want you to notice this verse ends with an exclamation point. There is passion in this verse. That's why I said we shouldn't read it, "Well, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet." No. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, that bringeth the good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. This is something that he was wanting us to read with passion. The word Zion here means a parched place. It's another name used for Jerusalem in the Bible. And I said earlier, this verse spoke of the announcement of the liberation of the Jews from Babylonian captivity. This liberation was a type, a figure, a foreshadowing of the redemption of man by Jesus Christ. I hope now you're getting a little more excited. It was the wonderful news that Jehovah was returning to Zion to reside on His holy mountain. But folks, we have a similar message to rejoice in, don't we? A similar message that we need to share. This world is a parched place. It's a place that's crying out for deliverance from the sin that has all but destroyed it. Our Lord Jesus reigns. And our Lord Jesus is returning. Amen? We have that message. When He does, we're going to go to be with Him. How much more excitement do we need? In verse 1 of this chapter, notice the command. Awake. Awake. Put on thy strength. Verse 2 says, shake thyself from the dust. Folks, we as God's people are being called on to wake up, to be alert, to redeem the time. We need to be found faithful sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Luke 24, you know the verse there. It says that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in the name among all. I'm going to speak Spanish and English here. Y'all excuse me. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. At Jerusalem. Remember in Acts 8, it tells us to be witnesses in Jerusalem, which for us means our hometown. But it spreads beyond that to Judea, Samaria, and we're talking about moving further and further out to the uttermost parts of the earth. Missions is such a vital part of getting God's word out in these last days. And I want us to consider one more passion that mentions feet. You don't even have to turn there. You remember the story in John 13? After the Passover meal, Jesus got up. He tied a towel around Himself. Then He poured water into a basin. And He stooped down before each of His disciples. Can anyone tell me what He did? He washed. What did He wash? Their feet. Jesus knelt down and washed their feet. Folks, this was a lesson in humility that they needed to learn for the disciples here. They had just finished the last Passover meal that they would share together before Jesus' death. And He wanted them to understand that they were called to humbly serve one another. He was about to leave this world. He was about to return to heaven and await that glorious day when He comes to get us, those who are saved. In the rapture, He wasn't just washing feet. He was sending out His disciples to fulfill their calling. So instead of shaking their hands, instead of even hugging their necks, He chose to do something completely different. He chose to wash their feet. Those feet had followed Him for 3 years. Those feet that had walked many miles with Him through deserts and across mountains and entering city after city. We're talking about the same feet that would soon run away when Jesus was arrested. Those feet were dirty. They were filthy from walking through the grime of this world. Those feet belonged to men who had many faults. But Jesus saw them as beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. He washed them as an object lesson, but also as preparation for their journey ahead. You see, they would soon be walking in many different directions, carrying the story of the Son of God, bringing good tidings of the best news ever told, proclaiming peace and the salvation that is only found in Jesus Christ, and telling a sinful world that our God reigns. Those feet belonged to men who would be willing to die for their belief in their Messiah, their Lord, and their Savior. Men who would go to the ends of the earth to preach the gospel of the one that they've been walking with. Now, I began this message with a question. And I hope you've all been considering it at least while we study God's Word and His purpose for our lives. But let me ask you again. Do you have beautiful feet? Do you have beautiful feet this morning? Brother, if you'll come. Once again, turn with me. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. We're going to start there and finish there. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him? Call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. There is an urgent need for more beautiful feet in this world. We need more who are willing to leave the comfort of their couch and their church pew and tell their friends and their family about what Christ accomplished on the cross. We need more who will go beyond their city, their county, their state boundaries so that they can share the gospel. We need more who will serve Christ on the foreign mission field. See, missions is vital in God's plan. It must continue. More missionaries are needed, not fewer. We have the good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ. We have our calling. We have our command from God. You remember Matthew 28:19? Go ye into all the world. Acts 1:8 tells us that he'll give us the power that we need to do that job. We just need more beautiful feet who are willing to go. So let me ask you, and we have a lot of young people here. I was, 42 when we actually arrived in Peru. So you can't say I'm too old. Could it be you? Could it be you that God is touching this morning? Oh, but I haven't lived a life. I could take a few minutes and I could tell you my testimony. I know everybody thinks I've always been perfect, but there were days. There were days. Let me tell you, God can use anybody. God can use, I'm just kind of in and out of church. I'm not that faithful. You can be. You can be. You can be used mightily by God, if you'll just give your heart to him today to do just that. Because the need for beautiful feet is a result of even a greater need, and that is the need for lost souls to come to Christ. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say, oh, there's a possibility. If you come to him with a repentant heart, repentance meaning I'm turning away from my sin, I'm turning towards Christ. If you come to him like that and you repent of your sin and you ask him to come into your heart to save you, he'll do it today. He said it shall be saved, not maybe. If you want to know that when you die, even if it's today because we have no promise of tomorrow, if you want to know that when you die, you're going straight to heaven and not to hell, you can make sure of that today before you leave this building. Folks, there are many excuses that people give for not receiving Christ as their Savior. But there is not one good reason for rejecting Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that this message that you put on my heart has touched other hearts here today, has helped us to realize that there's still a world out there lost and dying. We see it on the news, and sometimes we get complacent about it, like, well, God said it'd be this way, so I guess it's just going to be that way. No, we know there's so many souls that are lost and on their way to hell, souls that need saving, souls that you want to save and that you've prepared our hearts to go out and speak to. Lord, give us the strength, give us the boldness to step out and to preach and teach your word. Give us the boldness to even invite our neighbors to church. To lean over that fence and tell them, come with me to church this Sunday. To talk to that person at the grocery store, at the bank, wherever we go. To hand out a tract or two, Lord, or 100, thousands. Father, I pray that you would touch our hearts this morning to realize where there is such a great work that still needs to be done. And Calvary Baptist Church has been and needs to continue being a great part of that. I thank you for my church, Lord. I thank you for this great people here. But Lord, I pray that you put a burden on our hearts that we will not stop until we've reached as many as we possibly can. Lord, I thank you. And I praise you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Brother.
Have thine own way.
Maybe there's somebody here this morning that says, you know, I know I need to be saved. Someone raised their hand last week. They didn't come down to this altar. You realize God gave you grace for 7 more days? You could have died this week. Where would you have been? I don't know who that person was. But I'd say if that person or anyone else is here in this service today, if you've not given your heart to Christ, do not leave this building and take 7 more days of chances that you'll make it back next week. Give your heart to Christ this morning. Tell Him that you want to be saved. Tell Him you understand that you're a sinner on your way to hell, but you trust in His Son who died on the cross for your salvation. Put your faith in Jesus Christ today.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
If anybody else would like to come down and have somebody pray with them, we'd be glad to have somebody pray with you.
Search
if you want to understand more about salvation or any part of God's Word, we're here to help.
Master today, whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in
thank you so much for being here this morning. And I'm a missionary because God called me to be a missionary. But first, He put it on my heart to share the gospel with as many as I can. I don't know why this just came to my mind, but I think I've shared this with Brother Snyder many years ago. And what's so kind of strange is he's sitting pretty much where I was when this happened. He was up here preaching his heart out for this church to do something for Christ and for souls to be saved. And you know how one reason that I knew I was called to be a preacher, a missionary? It's because while he was preaching, my heart was just jumping out of my chest. I wanted to be standing right there next to him. I wanted to be preaching. I wanted people to know there is a God that will save you. And God has not let that burning in my heart leave. I don't want one person to ever leave the doors of this church without Christ in their heart. If you're here this morning, please, I beg you. I don't care if you wait till after the service and come up to myself, Brother Snyder, Brother Allen, others here, Brother Celon. We'd be glad to show you how to be saved. Do not leave this church without giving your heart to Christ today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, I just want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you, Lord, that we can read it. We can hear your heart speaking directly to ours. I want to thank you, Lord, that you give us the opportunity to be saved. And then you give us the opportunity, the privilege to serve you. Lord, continue to touch hearts here at Calvary so that we may see more missionaries called out, more pastors called, more Sunday school teachers called. Father, in this day when everybody's got their head in a telephone and in their computers instead of in your word, Lord, help us to refocus and come back to you. We know we're living in the last days. Even so, Lord, come. Come when you're ready, but help us to reach as many as we can before that time. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for many blessings this morning. Be with everyone as they go out from this church this morning. Watch over them. Bring them back tonight. Keep us safe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. and amen. God bless you all. I appreciate you being here, our special visitors with us. Y'all make sure you shake their hands. I heard him say earlier that everybody's been making them feel welcome. It's kind of scary. I don't know. But y'all make them feel welcome, and they're dear friends of ours. Thank you for coming this morning, and I hope to see you back again. But God bless you. You're dismissed.